Well, glory. Amen. Glory be to God. I've asked you to go to Ephesians 2. Is that what I asked you to do?
Yep.
Ephesians 2. Hallelujah. Sometimes it takes preaching a few minutes for the anointing to come really strong. Other times you just come up here and step into it. This is one of those times. Amen? Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Turned on, tuned in. Hallelujah. Thank you for asking. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise God. Yes. Now you're there in Ephesians chapter 2. And you've probably read 4 or 5 verses by now. And I'm going to have mercy and not penalize you for it. Amen? Hallelujah. Before we read over there, I need to speak to you. I need to remind you that we're building a foundation for faith in this series. Amen? This is the Basics of Faith series. The last 2 times we came together, let me go back to, this is session number 3. Amen? Of 350. Maybe. Who knows? Amen? This is number 3. I'll take you back and I'll remind you that in lesson number 1, we saw that we are new creations in Christ. At the new birth, we become brand new creations that never existed before. And that happens on the inside in your spirit. Amen? Amen? When you were born again, you became a brand new creation. It didn't happen on the outside. Amen? When Cynthia got saved, her hair didn't straighten out. Amen? Still curly. When Barbara got saved, her hair didn't curl. Stayed just like it is. I had a mustache before I was saved, and as soon as I got saved, I still had a mustache. Amen? Well, did I get that right? Hallelujah. I've only had a goatee for 3 years. I've had a mustache since I was 16 years old. That's 40 years. Whoo! It's a long time. Good thing I trim it, huh? By the way, it's not a goatee. It's a sheep tee. Amen? Jesus is coming to separate the sheep from the goats. Amen? I'm not going to be on the wrong side of that equation. I call this a sheep tee. Amen? But I had a mustache before I got saved, and I had a mustache after I got saved, because I didn't change on the outside. I changed on the inside. The Bible says we're created in God's image and in God's likeness, and Jesus said God is a spirit. So we're spirits. The spirit man, the spirit woman changed and became a brand new creation. Amen? If you weren't here, you can get that CD. It's available to you. Amen? It's called Understanding the New Creation. Amen? And last time we were together, last Wednesday night, we talked about the fact that at the time of the new birth, when we become brand new creations, we also become the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 5:20, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, which was self-righteousness, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There's 2 kinds of righteousness. There's self-righteousness, that's human righteousness, and then there's God's righteousness. There's the righteousness of God. The righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees is God's righteousness. And the Bible says He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And we saw, once you've been made the righteousness of God, you can't improve, you can't grow in righteousness because it's God's righteousness and it's perfect. Righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. It means to have the same standing with God as Jesus. It means to have the same holiness as Jesus, the same innocence as Jesus. That's what righteousness means, and it's a gift. As many as receive abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness shall reign and rule in life by Christ Jesus. It's a gift you receive. So righteousness is a gift. It's not something you do. It's something you receive. It's a gift. If you could do something to earn it, it would be a wage, not a gift. Amen? So, you are a brand new creation that never existed before. You are the righteousness of God. And even as you sit here tonight, and I know many of you work today, and you need the Holy Ghost to quicken you right now, according to Romans 8:11, and I pray, Father God, that you'll do just that. Quicken them, quicken me. Physically, spiritually and emotionally. We ask you, according to Romans 8:11, that the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that you used to raise Jesus from the dead, would quicken us in this place tonight, Father, in Jesus' name, so we can sit here and not miss what you have to say to us tonight. Amen? Say,
I'm a new creation.
Okay, now everybody say it. I'm a new creation. Okay, now everybody say it. I'm a new creation. Okay, now everybody say it, because everybody's not bothering to say it. Let's say, I'm a new creation. When a police officer tells you to pull over, you pull over. When a doctor says take medication, you take the medication. When the pastor says to say I'm a new creation, you really should say I'm a new creation. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're building a foundation for faith. Amen? Every component is necessary. Faith needs a foundation to build upon. The new birth is a block in that foundation. Righteousness is also a block in that foundation. And tonight we're going to talk about the fact that you are seated now because you're a new creation, because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are seated in a position of authority at the Father's right hand. And too many believers don't know this. Amen? This is building block number 3. We're building a foundation for faith. Amen? Every component, every building block is necessary to strong faith. Compromise on the components, and the foundation will crumble. Amen? Now, Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, I believe, he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this sycamine tree, which was actually a black myrtle tree, be thou cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart. It'll do exactly as you say. Amen? Why did he use the mustard seed? He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. A lot of people think Jesus was saying, because if you have just this much faith, you can do miracles. Well, yes, that too. But that's not why he used the mustard seed as an illustration. He used the mustard seed. You know, Jesus is our brother. He's our not only our Lord and Savior and Creator, he's our brother. He's big brother Jesus. Amen? He is. He's our brother. Well, truly he is. And our brother Jesus knew 2,000 years ago, before anybody else knew it, that the mustard seed was never going to be able to be cross-pollinated with another seed. You can't cross-pollinate a mustard seed. You can't hybridize it. He knew of all the seeds that can be cross-pollinated that man would discover you could cross-pollinate them and produce better crops, that you could hybridize. He knew the mustard seed that would never be true with the mustard seed. The mustard seed cannot be cross-pollinated with another seed. In other words, it's unchanging. It can't be changed. It's unchangeable. And when Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can perform the miraculous, you can walk in the miraculous. He was saying, if you have unchanging faith, faith that never changes the way the mustard seed can never change. If you refuse to take no for an answer, if you find that God has promised to do something for you in the Scripture, and you grab hold of it with your faith, refuse to take no from the devil, refuse to change your position of faith, he said, you can walk in the miraculous. You see why he chose the mustard seed? It's unchanging. And he said, we too must be as unchanging as the mustard seed if we're going to receive as proficiently from God as he desires for us to. How'd you like that, Betty? I knew you could tell by looking at you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look right here. Listen, if you will be unchangeable when it comes to church attendance, if you will be unchangeable when it comes to tithes and offerings, if you will be unchangeable about reading the Word of God and developing some sort of a prayer life, even if you work so many hours a day you just can't get time alone with God, you can pray in tongues in the car on the way to work and on the way, shut the radio off! I'm not angry, I'm just, hallelujah, just awakening folks unto righteousness. Shut that radio off and pray in tongues. Fellowship with the Father on the way to the job and on the way home from the job. You can do that. And it'll count. It'll make a difference. Amen. If you'll be unchanging when it comes to church attendance, tithes and offerings, and obeying His specific plan for your life, you can walk in the miraculous. Amen? God will be able then to bless you as proficiently as He desires to bless you. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 2? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe that you're a new creation? Do you believe you are the righteousness of God? Hallelujah. Are you willing to believe that you're seated in heavenly places in a position of authority? Are you willing to believe it if it's in the Word? Humanity is represented in the Trinity. I'll never get over it. There's a man, Christ Jesus, your brother, seated at the Father's right hand, representing born-again humanity in the Trinity. Talk about being well-connected. Huh? Ephesians chapter 2. We saw this last under the new creation 2 weeks ago. We used this as a text. We're going to use it again tonight. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Say, I'm getting blessed already. Hallelujah. And you hath He quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses, in sins. We were spiritually dead, separated from God, and ruled by pride. Wherein in time past we walked according to the course of this world. Amen. Whatever the sinful world was doing, come on, we were out there doing it too. According to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's who we used to be, children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation. We know that means manner of life. Conversation means manner of life. It's a kingeth, jameth, wordeth. Among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others who are still out there now, banging around in the storms of life, children of Satan. But aha! We heard of Jesus and we had enough sense to accept Him. Amen? But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Oh, He loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, spiritually dead, separated from Him, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you see that in the Bible? The Bible says you are seated in a position of authority in heavenly places in Christ. Christ being our fleshly human representative. Amen? He's our ambassador to heaven. Amen? Heaven's solitary missionary. He came to this earth to be made sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, return to heaven from planet earth as our ambassador, seated at the Father's right hand, representing us now as I stand and speak to you tonight. Far too many believers have read these verses and completely passed over them, not understanding at all what's being stated here. Amen? We are seated in a position of tremendous authority. Get a hold of it. Amen? Humanity in Christ is represented in the Trinity. Say, that's me. I'm represented in the Trinity. That's my brother up there. You need to get a hold of that and not just read over these verses. Amen? Get a hold of it and start exercising mastery on this planet. Amen? Because that's what you were created to do. Because we're seated in heavenly places, we are first and foremost, and you want to get a hold of this, we are first and foremost placed in a position of authority above Satan and demon powers. We are above Satan and demon powers. We are above Satan and demon powers. Some believers actually believe that the order is this. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost.
Below them are the angels of God. Below the angels are the demons. And below the demon spirits and Satan is God's human creation. And that's not so. Man is the apex of all of God's creation. Amen? The order is this. The Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Humanity. Angels. Demons. We have all authority over Satan and demon spirits in this earth, and they are in this earth. Amen. Listen, Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, put this in your notes, 19 and 20, He said, "Behold, I give you power." Explosive, dynamic, dunamis power. That's the word we get our word dynamite from. I give you power over all the ability of Satan and to tread on serpents and scorpions. Serpents and scorpions throughout Scripture are symbolic of Satan and demon powers. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the ability of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you unless you lay back and let it. Unless you don't understand that you have authority over him, you can take authority over him, and you can drive him back and cast him out of you and yours in Jesus' name. But you can't wait for God to do it. Nowhere in the Scripture are we ever instructed to pray, "Oh God, get the devil off me." God says, do it yourself. Jesus said, "Behold, I've given you power and you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you if you rise up against him and don't let him do it to you." We're talking about the believer's authority. We're talking about being seated in heavenly places. Mark chapter 16, put it in your notes, verse 17. Jesus said, these were some of his last words. This is moments before he ascended on high to go to the Father's right hand and represent us. These are some of his last words. He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." You know, if you get sickness in your body, if you've got sickness in your body, and you're praying and you're asking God to do something about it, God's word's telling you, you do something about it. God's word's telling you, you rise up against the devil and you tell the devil, "Get it off me, and get it off me now. Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law." Sickness is the curse of the law. Jesus bore my sins. He bore the penalty for my sins, which is sickness and disease. Now get it off me, and get it off me now in Jesus' name. And you'll see change begin to affect in your body. That's what Jesus meant when he said, nothing will by any means harm you unless you let it. Amen. God has already done everything he's going to do about the devil harassing us. Everything he's agreed to do sitting right there in your lap right now. We need to read it and we need to make application of it. He said, you do something about it. Don't ask me. We have all authority over Satan and demon powers. We are seated at the Father's right hand. Satan, there's no higher place to go. Satan is our footstool. He's under our feet. Amen? Hallelujah. So, if you've been letting the devil harass you with sickness and disease and poverty and confusion and fear and frustration, it's time to get over it. Get up over it and realize you are seated in heavenly places above Satan and demon powers. Bind him now. That's what I mean when I say get over it. Get a revelation that you're up and over him and he must obey you when you speak to him. You're seated in a position of tremendous authority in heavenly places. As I said, when we submit to God and to his word, through church attendance, through tithes and offerings, walking in love. Barbara shared that during the offering tonight. In obeying his specific plan for our lives, Satan has no choice but to obey us. Amen? This is why church tramps take a beating from the devil all the time. Church tramps. Church tramps. That's what I call them. Amen? They jump from church to church. They're here 1 week, they're gone 2 weeks, they're back 3 weeks, they're gone 6 weeks, they're back 2 weeks. Come around here, see what's going on over there in that word church. They come and they go, they come and they go, they don't make a commitment. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25 that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together with one another. Especially as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Amen?
It's a sin to skip church. I said it's a sin to skip church. Amen? You want to know why your prayers aren't being answered? I'll tell you why. Officer Himmel will tell you why. You're out on a 1025. You're out on a Hebrews 10:25. My father used to be a police officer. And they'd have the scanner going all the time, and you'd hear all these numbers that the police officers would respond to. They go out and arrest somebody on a 644. And I remembered that when I read Hebrews 10:25 for the first time. I thought, gee, there's lots of folks out on a 1025. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, the devil will bust you if you disobey God and you refuse to attend church when the doors are open, and you refuse to pay your tithes and offerings, and you refuse to obey His specific plan for your life. Amen? Your authority won't work if you're obeying Him. He doesn't have to obey us when we're obeying Him. He knows when we're obeying Him, we're in disobedience. And part-time obedience is full-time disobedience. Well, you think about that one. Amen? Hallelujah. Satan, listen, he can harass us. He can harass us. Remember Paul's thorn? He said it was a messenger of Satan. He can harass us. He can tempt us. Hebrews 4:15 says even Jesus was tempted by the devil in all points, just like we are, but yet without sin. He didn't submit to it. So he can harass us. He can tempt us. He can oppress us. Acts 10:38 said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So He can harass, He can tempt, He can oppress to a degree, but He cannot stop our deliverance. Because Jesus said in Revelation 22:12, He said, let all who would drink of the water of life come freely. Satan can't stop you. Jesus said in Matthew 16, I believe it's in verse 18, He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We will build this church on Cape Cod, and although the devil will tempt us and harass us and try to stop us, he can't stop us. God said, I'll build it. I'll build it and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It will happen. It's happening now. Amen. He can't stop our deliverance. He can't overthrow the church. And you know what you need to know tonight? He can't read your mind. I am just amazed at the number of believers who think Satan can read their minds. He can't read your mind. He's not omniscient. Only God is all-knowing. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, put it in your notes, verses 6 through 8, if the princes of this world knew what they were doing, what God was going to accomplish when Satan sent Jesus to the cross, he wouldn't have done it. Now that tells me that Satan can't read your mind, because Jesus knew he's going to that cross. Jesus knew what he came here for. He had it right up in here all the time. He knew it. Satan didn't know it because he couldn't read his mind. If he couldn't read Jesus' mind, he can't read your mind. And you need to understand, he cannot read your mind. Now, he's a supernatural being. He does know some things. We don't understand everything about him. But he is a fallen being, and he's not omniscient, and he can't read your mind. And I needed to say that for somebody's benefit. Amen. He cannot read our mind, and he can't escape judgment. It's coming in Revelation chapter 20. Verses 1 through 15, when the angel comes to lock him and all of his demon spirits in the pit. But in the meantime, he's been placed into this earth, cast out of heaven, put in this earth for you and me to hold in incarceration while he's here, not the other way around. Amen. To get you on one earplug for the right ear for when I go up the aisle. Amen. Do you understand what I just said? He does not have authority over you. You have all authority over him. Don't wait on God to do what God told you to do. Jesus said, bind the strong man, then you can plunder his house. You tell the devil, back off, and that opens the spout where God's help comes out. Amen. Not only are we above Satan, we've been placed above God's angels. Go to Psalm 8 real quick if you would. Hallelujah. These are basics. These are things every believer needs to know. But unfortunately, every believer doesn't know this. Amen? I have been shocked at the number of
believers I have encountered over coming up on 30 years of Christianity who think Satan has authority over them. Amen? Did you hear what I said? Who believe Satan has some sort of authority over them. The way some preachers preach, you'd think the devil whipped up on Jesus when he was here. Well, glory be to God. Are you there in Psalm 8? Not only are we above Satan, we are above God's angels. Now, some folks struggle with this too, but we're going to go to the Word. Amen? Say, give me Scripture! Hallelujah. That's what I sit shouting at the TV when somebody gets up on the TV and says something dumb that's not in the Bible. I'll shout, give me Scripture! No Scripture for that. Bunch of junk. Say, Barbara, put the cartoons back on. I've had enough of that. Give me John Wayne. Where's the Duke when you need him? At least John Wayne knew the good guys always win. I'd rather watch a John Wayne movie than listen to some preachers preach. There's a lot of good preachers in the earth. Whole lot of them better than me. Don't get me wrong. Amen? Amen? Okay. There's some good preachers out there. I ain't talking about them right now. I'm talking about the dummies who blame God for everything. God's not guilty. He's a good God. Amen? And He's given us authority over Satan. And He's also placed us above His angels. In Psalm 8, verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? David's talking to the Lord. And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Are you there? Psalm 8, verse 4. Everybody's okay? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his man's feet. Now you see right there in verse 5, it says, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Those scaredy cat translators did that. If you look that word up, you know what that word is? Elohim. E-L-O-H-I-M. It's the Trinity name for God. That's the name God uses when He's speaking in reference to Himself, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus at the same time. Throughout the Old Testament, when God referred to the Trinity, He used the name Elohim. It's a handle He hung on Himself. It means the triune God, not angels. It says that man has been placed a little lower than the Trinity, than Elohim, not the angels. Say, well, glory to God for that. Because we've not been placed lower than the angels. Amen? Where in Scripture do you find that God made the angels the righteousness of God in Christ? You don't. Where do you find in Scripture that God has made even one angel a new creation in Christ? You don't. But He did it for man. Man is the apex of His creation. And I mean womb man, woman, when I say man. Amen? You know what I believe as far as that goes. Amen? I believe Galatians 3:28, in Christ Jesus, there's neither born nor free, Jew or Gentile, male or female, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. Men and women are the apex of God's creation, and we've been placed above the little lower than Elohim, which is above the angels. Amen? Oh, that's good. Fires me up. Amen? Even on a Wednesday night. Amen? Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Scaredy cat translators, unable to receive the revelation that born-again humanity has been placed above God's holy angels. Amen? The new creation, the born-again righteous believer, has an elevated position directly below the Trinity, but directly above angels and demons. Amen? The angels of God are the servants of the believer. That's what Hebrews 1:14 says. Let me just read to you Psalm 91:11-12. You put it in your notes. Amen? Now Adam fell to below the level of angels, but Christ has come and raised us up again. So we are now above the angels again. Do you understand that, don't you? Psalm 91:11-12 says, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands. That word is actually power. They'll bear thee up with thy power, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone, or lest you not be able to bear up and you stumble. God has given His angels charge to protect us and to provide for us, but not to tell us what to do. We tell the angels of God what to do. The word charge, He gives His angels charge over us, means to put things in order. He's commissioned His angels to put things in order in our lives when we tell them to do so. You should look at Psalm 103 with me, if you would. Get over there real quick. You can find that easy, can't you? Psalm 103. Give you something to do, help you to stay awake. Amen? I want you to know I appreciate you coming out here to hear God's Word when you're tired. Amen? Hallelujah. It's commendable. Nobody in here is getting rebuked. Amen? I'm joining my faith with you for you to get everything out of this message tonight that God desires for you to get. Amen? And I'm telling you, we've been placed over the angels of God, but we need to tell them to put things in order in our lives. Amen? Psalm 103, verse 20. Say amen if you're there. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Hearkening unto the voice of His word. Now, you all have a Bible, right? Put your finger in that page. Close your Bible. Look up here. Hearkening. Take your Bible. Hold it up. Hearkening to the voice of God's word. Hearkening. The angels hearken to the voice of God's word. Okay, now let's all put it up to your ear. Everybody listening? Listen. What do you hear? Absolutely nothing. There ain't no voice coming out that word. We've got to give voice to the word. Who gives voice to God's word in the earth? We do as believers. When we speak the word of God and we commission the angels of God to go and cause the word of God to come to pass on our behalf, they will do exactly that. Long as we have scripture. Amen? You can't say, angels, you go, and you tell Barbara to divorce Pastor John because I like her and I'm going to marry her. Well, God says He hates divorce, so that ain't going to work. The angels know enough about the Word of God to know not to disobey the Word of God. Amen? As long as you have something scriptural, and it's legal, moral, and scriptural, they will obey when we tell them what to do. Amen? Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Hebrews 1. Well, you know what I want to do first? We just read Psalm 103. I'm not going to keep you much longer here tonight, amen? So perk up. You're going to make it, amen? It's not going to take another 30 minutes to get through this. I'm going to have you out of here in 29 minutes flat. Amen? We just read Psalm 103:20. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening to the voice of His word. I want to read you the literal translation, what that actually says in the Hebrew. It actually says, you ready? Say, I'm ready.
I'm
ready. Say, bring it on, Pastor.
Bring it on, Pastor.
The angels of God are powerful, giant warriors that excel in force as chameleons. See, they can change to suit whatever the circumstances require. As chameleons. That do God's affairs and God's errands, hearing intelligently, discerning and obeying the thunderings of His spoken book. Hearing and obeying the thunderings of His spoken book. They sure hear some thunderings come out of me. Amen? I say, angels, go in Jesus' name and see to it that my family's saved. Cause the finances this church needs to come in. Fill those seats. Influence people for good. In an even mightier way than Satan has influenced them for bad. And shoo, they're off like lightning to do it. Amen? Hearkening to the thunderings of the spoken book. That's what they do. You talk to your angels? Or do you pray and you say, oh God, send an angel to help me. And there's one standing right there waiting. Amen? Jesus said that the angels of God, even the children have angels. You know, it's a lie that we all have one guardian angel. That's not taught in Scripture. Jesus said concerning little children, He said their angels, plural, are ever before the face of God. The guardian angel lie is a lie. There's more than one. There's a plurality of guardian angels. And they don't leave you just because you grew up.
They stick with you. And they carry you on back home when your number's up and it's time to go. Luke chapter 16. Amen. They'll escort you right back into heaven. They came into the earth with you, and they go back on home with you. And while you're here, you've got to talk to them. You've got to tell them what to do. Or they'll just sit around idle, inactive, and you'll give account for that on the day of judgment. Amen? So that's some good reading right there. Amen? That word angels is actually apostle. It means sent ones. Sent ones. An apostle is a sent one. Amen? Sent to do what? Sent to put things in order for you in your life. Amen? This is why we need to tell them, go and cause the finances to come in. Go and cause my loved ones to be saved and protected and be delivered. Steer them to the gospel in Jesus' name. Amen? Angels will respond to the faith-filled words of the believers. I told you this is faith basics. This is simple stuff. This is elementary stuff. But a lot of folks don't have it down. Amen? But you're going out of here tonight with it down. Amen? You are a new creation that never existed before. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Whether you look like it, act like it, talk like it, smell like it, you be the righteousness of God in your spirit. So pull your mind and your body in line with it. You could not have better standing with God if you died and went to heaven right now. Righteousness can't be improved upon. You can't grow in righteousness. Amen? You can grow in love, and you best do that. You can grow in faith, and you better do that. You can grow in revelation of His Word, and that'll happen if you keep coming around here. But you can't grow in righteousness. You're the righteousness of God, and you're seated in heavenly places in a position of authority over Satan and demon powers and over the angels of God in this earth. Jesus said we're going to judge and rule the angels throughout all of eternity. Why don't you start getting them used to your voice now? Amen? He said, oh, I know her. Man, she shoved me around down there. And I enjoyed every minute of it. Hallelujah. Amen? Go to Luke chapter 17. Amen? I'm telling you, if you will speak to the angels of God, they will search the avenues of God's wisdom even while you're sleeping, looking for ways to make your commands come to pass. Did you hear what I said? If you bind the devil, bind the strong man in Jesus' name. Say, Satan, I bind you in this matter. In Jesus' strong name. Angels, go and fix this mess for me. In Jesus' strong name. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. And you need to do it regularly. Amen? Hallelujah. They will search the avenues of God's wisdom, looking for ways to make your faith commands come to pass, even while you're sleeping. Lay your head down on the pillow at night, and you say, I'm going to sleep. You angels, you're on all night. Amen? They don't sleep. They don't need rest. They're like God in that sense. They don't need rest. Amen? And as we close tonight, I want to tell you that you must never allow your faith to rest. Bind the devil, commission the angels, and begin to speak solutions from God's Word over whatever your problems are. You know that Jesus said your faith is your servant and that you should never give your faith a rest? Where did He say that? Right here in Luke chapter 17, if you'd read it with me, amen. Luke chapter 17. You getting anything out of this tonight? Luke chapter 17, let's pick it up in verse 5. I'm making the point that your faith-filled words are servants that will obey you. Amen? Luke 5, 17, 5. And the apostle said unto him, we'll close with this too. Everyone say, glory.
Glory.
I'm getting blessed, but I need some sleep. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our what? What's the subject?
Faith.
The apostle said to the Lord, increase our what?
Faith.
And the Lord said, if you had what?
Faith.
If you had, what's the subject?
Faith.
We're talking about faith?
Faith.
Say, Jesus
is talking about faith.
Okay, the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, remember we saw at the beginning of this message, he was talking about unchanging faith that won't take no for an answer. You might say to this sycamine tree, or black mulberry is what it is, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, it should or it must obey you. Now what are we talking about? What are we talking about? What are we talking about? All right, now look at verse 7. But which of you, we're still talking about faith, having a servant. See now, this is an analogy. He's telling them, your faith is your servant. Which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he's come in from the field at the end of the day, go ahead and sit down to meat, have something to eat. And will not you rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird yourself and serve me until I've eaten and I've drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? Who's the servant? Faith. Jesus said your faith is a servant, and you best never let him sit down and take a break. That's what he's saying right here. Do you thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded? I trow not, or I think not. So likewise ye, when you've done all those things which are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. What I wanted you to see here is that Jesus described our faith as being a servant that we must never allow to rest. We are under obligation to keep our faithful words out there working on our behalf 24/7. Amen? Can you see that? Jesus said, never let your faith rest. Amen? When it accomplishes one thing, when it comes in from the field and the field's all plowed, you tell it, okay, now we eat, now you make my supper. When your faith has accomplished something in one area, now you take that faith and you apply it to another area, and you never stop walking by faith as long as you're in this earth. Someone said to me, Pastor, how long do I have to stand by faith? I said, for the rest of your life, baby, you best get used to it, and you best get good at it. Amen? You are seated in the place of tremendous authority in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father in the person of our big brother Jesus Christ. It is a position of tremendous authority. When we speak to Satan and demon powers, they absolutely must obey. When we commission the angels of God to go and fix that mess called my life, they'll do it. They will do it. Hallelujah. And you must never withdraw your faith. Amen? There'll never come a day when you don't have to wake up and take authority over the devil every day of your life and commission the angels of God to go and accomplish the perfect will for you that day. You should speak to angels and demons every day of your blessed little life. And if you haven't been, well, now you know where half your problem is. Amen? And we've got to be faithful and obey the word. Faithful in church attendance. Amen? This is a theocracy, not a democracy. No voting. We don't get to wake up on Sunday morning and say, I don't feel like going. Amen? We walk by faith, not by feelings. If we don't bother going to church, we don't bother paying our... I talk to people on the telephone all the time. They want to know, it ain't working, Pastor! I said, I can tell you why. Don't even say another word. I'll tell you why. Don't even say another word. Don't even say another word. I'll tell you why. You don't show up in church unless it's convenient and you pay your tithes about 30% of the time. That ain't tithing. That's God robbing. Well, that's what Malachi chapter 3, 8 through 10 says. If you don't pay your tithes, you're a God robber. Do you really think you can steal from God and the devil's going to obey you? Do you? Hallelujah. If God came and stayed at your house and he emptied his pockets and he pulled, you know, a couple of $100 bills out in his wallet and took his rings off and put them on the dresser in your guest room, and while he was sleeping, if you went in and took two of those $100 bills, you wouldn't do that, would you? Would you sneak into your guest room if Jesus was sleeping in there and swipe something he put on the dresser?
You're doing the same thing when you don't pay your tithes. You tell people like that, and they, something like that, they scatter. But that's what you're doing. I didn't say it. You can go read Malachi 8 through 10. You're God robber. You're cursed with a curse if you don't pay your tithes. Listen, I always say this. I'm good, but I ain't that good, baby. I didn't write it. I just preach it. Hallelujah. Somebody called me up on the telephone right here in Cape Cod, told me, you shouldn't say this, and you shouldn't say that, and don't say this, and don't say that. See, get behind me, Satan. Come in here, tell me what not to preach. Telling me, a woman telling me not to preach the Word of God. Telling the pastor, you're preaching the Word too strong. So the Word's strong. The Word is the Word. You want me to water it down for you? Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. Keep speaking faithful words. Be faithful, faithful. I'm not rebuking anybody. I'm trying to bring you up higher. Amen? I'm trying to get folks to come up higher. God's not trying to get something out of our pocket when He tells us to tithe. He's trying to get something into our pocket. He's trying to bless us. Amen? God, Barbara said tonight during the offering, she reminded us there's a Godward side and there's a manward side to our covenant with God. We do a little thing, show up in church. He does a big thing and blesses us. We do a little thing and pay our tithes. He does a big thing and lets us keep 90% and gives us a 100-fold return on the 10% that we do give Him. Can you believe God said He'll give you a 100-fold return on your tithes? And on the 10% that belongs to Him anyway, He says, give it back to me, I'll give you a 100-fold return. You know that's a 10,000% interest rate? Cape Cod 5 isn't going to do that for you. They wouldn't even give us a bank account. One day they're going to knock on the door and they're going to want us to put money on their bank, and I'm going to remind them how you wouldn't give us a bank account because you didn't like us. God's given you promising you a 10,000% interest rate on your tithes and your offerings, if only you believe. That's in Mark chapter 10, 29 and 30. We don't have time to look at it tonight. Why don't you stand up? Hallelujah. We are seated in a position of tremendous authority. We are new creations in Christ Jesus that never existed before. You know, there's no sin problem between you and God. The sin problem has been eradicated. Amen. Even since you've committed, since you've been born again, He said He's faithful and just if we'll just confess those sins, to forgive us those sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, if you just get a hold of it, ask the Holy Spirit. If you haven't gotten a hold of righteousness yet, ask Him to give you a revelation of righteousness. Things couldn't be better between you and God. No matter how much you acted like a little rat today, things couldn't be better between you and God. The blood of Jesus is sufficient to cover any mistakes that you make. Amen? And we are seated in a position at the Father's right hand of tremendous authority over Satan and demon powers and over the very angels of God. There's enough revelation in that to last you until the second coming. But it's not going to have to because I got more. Amen? Hallelujah. Next time we come together, I'm going to talk to you about the fact that you have the right to use the name of Jesus and expect supernatural results. Why? Because you're a brand new creation that never existed before. You are the righteousness of God. You are seated at the Father's hand in heavenly places. You deserve answers to your prayer, and God deserves to be glorified by answering your prayer. You tell the devil, this is family business, Bucky boy. Back off! He's not in the family anymore. He's on the outs. Amen. Now say it with me again. Say, Satan! I bind you in every realm of my existence in Jesus' name. Let my children go. Let my mind go. Let my finances go. Let go of my body in Jesus' name. Angels of God, you go now and you accompany. You preserve. And you defend me and my family in all of our ways. In Jesus' name.
In faith, you keep on working. I'll tell you when I'm through with you. In Jesus' strong name. Now, how